brothers and sisters, in obedience and in submission to Allah. We Muslims carry a burden on our shoulders. This burden we have been under its pressure and its weight for generations. And the epitome of it is the occupation, before that, the theft, and then the invasion, and then the occupation of our first Qibla and our third Haram. To have a healthier understanding of the magnitude of this problem, we say, and our information is from Allah and His Prophet, we say that in addition to the Zionists and the Israelis militarily taking over the Holy Land, they managed and occupied it. They managed to take over and to occupy our history. Many Muslims, they think that the major problem is the occupation of our land. And indeed, it is a big and a growing problem, no doubt. Before that, and during that, and after that, we have a pre-existing problem, and that is our own history has been occupied. What do we mean by this? We mean the following. Quds, Jerusalem, is not a city that owes its past to the Yahudi version of history. When you listen, when you read, when you watch the events, past, present, and potentially future, when you tune in your senses to these events that speak about Jerusalem, Al-Quds, or speak about Palestine, or the Holy Land, you are influenced significantly by the counter-Islamic argument pertaining to this issue. History of Musa and the history of what is called the biblical prophets. This history is our history. But tell me, who are the Muslims who carry within them the mind, the courage, the confidence, the conscience that claim this Islamic history? Who are they? Where are they? Show them to us. They're not around. Even though this information is within our reach, the first ayah in Surah Al-Isra, or Surah Bani Israel, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله. This ayah glorifies Allah who has taken his subject and his servant on a night journey from Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, Al-Quds. The history of Bani Israel is a history of miracles. Their reading of that history concentrates on the miraculous in it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He reveals this ayah, the meaning of this ayah is a miracle. But He didn't refer to it as a miracle. One of the meanings of ayah is miracle. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say or point out to us that this was a miraculous occurrence. His subject, Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his, who was taken on a nocturnal journey from Arabia to the Levantine, the holy land of what is called today Palestine. He didn't say this was a miracle. We know, just from understanding what happened, that it was. So our response to those who, meaning al-Yahud and al-Nasara, those who have made miracles the central component of their faith, of their history, our response to them is, we, because this journey from Mecca to Al-Quds took place about 12 to 13 years after the Wahy. During those 12 and 30 or 13 years, the Prophet was in a struggle. The Prophet was sweating. The Prophet's soul, the Prophet's spirit was being challenged. And out of that, Allah produced a supernatural act. So our response is not to counter a miracle with a miracle. Our response is to address their miracle-centered scripture around a struggle that will produce the equivalence of the Isra. But we don't understand that. That's why, and there's many more whys, that is why our history is under occupation. We don't even have the mind power to capture the meanings that are part of us. Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca was built by Ibrahim. إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين. The first place, the first retreat was designated for people was the one in Mecca. Blessed as a blessing and a guidance for the rest of the worlds, for the rest of the environments. أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. هو بيت المسجد الأقصى. Ask yourself in your mind, do you have any clear recollection of who built al-Masjid al-Aqsa? If you don't, then you are a victim of the counter-information and the aggressive propaganda that comes our way and has taken from us our own history. The idea of the building of al-Masjid al-Aqsa was the idea of Dawood, Prophet David. It was completed by his son Sulaiman, al-Nabiyu Sulaiman. And it is important to note here that there is a divergence of opinions between those who have a Jewish history and those who are supposed to have an Islamic history. Those who have the Yahudi version of history say Dawood and Sulaiman were kings. They were not prophets. They were kings. In our history, we assert and we affirm that Dawood and Sulaiman were prophets from Allah. But which information dwells in you? Before we speak about the military effort to take on the occupiers of the Holy Land, in yourselves, in your minds, in your knowledge of history, are you aware that there is a contradiction of versions as to who built al-Masjid al-Aqsa, which Allah has blessed it and its environs, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ. So again, we run into an emptiness in ourselves, in our thoughts. Concentrate, know, be assured that al-Quds belongs to the history of prophets. It doesn't belong to racism and nationalism that comes from the Yahudi version of the narrative of Bani Israel. Another area in which we, the Muslim public, we really don't have a healthy understanding. And I say this because of experience. I'm just like one of you. I speak to other Muslims. I listen to them. I try to understand what they are saying and where they are coming from. But when you do that, do they really have a healthy understanding of who is Bani Israel as opposed to who Yahud is? Once again, you run into shallow areas among the Muslims. There's really no substantiation of a difference between the two. Another indicator that our history is occupied. Our land is occupied, everyone knows that. But not many people know that before and to make possible the occupation of our land, our minds and our recollection of ourselves, that area has been occupied. There's what is called Israeliyat, Israeli information lodged into the depths of our books of references, whether it is hadith or whether it is even comment on the ayat of the Quran. There is Israeliyat in tafsir literature. Why can't we liberate ourselves from that? Where have our minds gone? We're not dumb people, brothers and sisters, Muslims of confidence and of commitment. We are not lacking up here. in our minds. But why don't we concentrate this thinking endowment from Allah of ours on understanding what He's telling us? They come along now and they have the CNN and the mainstream media and the establishmentarian propaganda. They have all of that on their side. And they come and say, this is our land. Isn't this the bottom line justification for their taking by force Palestine? This is our land. Who are you? Where's the Muslims who come in and say, who are you? You live in this city here. This is the second capital of Israel. Washington DC is the second capital of Israel. Where are the Muslims around? These Muslims who go to interfaith meetings, the Muslims who meet with the FBI, the Muslims who feel that they are so inferior that they need a smile from the kafirs and the mushriks. So inferior we are. This is what happens when you are empty of the vital information that belongs to you. You are vacuous. Any propaganda can come in and settle right in your mind and in your heart. This is what has happened to our crowd. So what do? They don't even have the courage to bring these Yahudis. There's plenty of Yahudis around here. Okay, come on. You say, what's wrong with Muslims in an Islamic center, in a masjid, in a university auditorium, in a public speaking area, wherever? Okay, come on. You say this is yours? Let's sit down and let's open up this whole issue. What do you mean by this is yours? You mean we don't belong to Dawood? We don't belong to Suleiman? We don't believe in David? You mean to tell us we don't believe in Solomon? We don't believe in the biblical prophets? Is that your inference? Is this how you want to exclude us from what is ours? If you belong to the biblical prophets, you honor Abraham and you honor Isaac and you speak about, so do we? So what is this? This is ours. If this is ours, the followers of these prophets, we are the followers of these prophets. So what ours means is, it appears, at least this is the least the Muslim spokespersons can say, if it's ours, then ours means you and we. You have a problem with that? Because this is where we are going to bring out their racism. Zionism is a racist ideology. But we are not going to be able to expose it and to shed light on it if we don't entangle them with our minds. Where are the Muslims who are doing that? Muslims are running, you've heard the news, do I have to repeat it for you? Just in this past week, news broke out, and it doesn't, this news does not stay in Muslim minds and in Muslim congregations. They want to get rid of this news. Why? Because it will make them feel that they are guilty. Muslims don't want to feel guilty. No human being wants to feel guilty. Or you tell them, what's wrong? There are 10, 15,000 Muslims who are acting as informers in Islamic centers and in masajid around the country. Where did this come from? How did this happen? How is this rationalized? What justification do you have for this from the Book of Allah or from the Sunnah of His Prophet? Produce it for us. Yet another occasion in which you and I, the Muslim public, are silent about. No one wants to bring it. You know, these are not phantom human beings. This is not a fairy tale that there are 15,000 informers in this country who are reporting to the FBI. Where does this come from?
if there wasn't an emptiness in our minds and in our hearts, this wouldn't have happened. But there's a huge gap, and they move into it. And they recruit people who listen to these khutbas on Fridays and have been listening to them for I don't know how many years. They become easy patsies for the tawaghit. Yeah, we'll work for you. How much are you going to pay us? $12,000 a month? $10,000? $8,000? We'll set up traps for these Muslims. You begin to think, okay, the masjid in your neighborhood, or the masjid you go to, who's the informer there? We don't have any problems with them. Actually, we'd like 15,000 of them to come and share the Jumu'ah prayers with us here in the street, so that they can learn something, instead of going to these masajid and not learning anything, and perpetuating the mental and the psychological occupation that we have been suffering from before the political and the ideological and the military occupation that stares us in the eye all the way from the occupied territories to Washington, D.C. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. المسجد الحرام, مسجد is a place of sujood. That's a simple meaning of it. It could be a structure with walls and a roof, or it could just be a plain land with nothing at all, a place where you perform your sujood. That's a masjid. Allah has mentioned al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. And He mentioned al-Masjid al-Aqsa in Al-Quds. Who these Zionists come around with their poisoned information, and they tell you and me and everyone else who has an idle mind, they say, look, in your holy book, Jerusalem is not even mentioned once. In the Quran, we look for Al-Quds, the word Al-Quds, and sure enough, there's not one area in the Quran that mentions Al-Quds. There's not one area in the Quran that mentions Palestine. But there are ayat in the Quran that mention al-Masjid al-Aqsa and al-Ard al-Muqaddasa. That is because our relationship to Palestine is not a geographical, materialistic, market relationship. It is a relationship that is much deeper than that. It's a relationship of conviction and commitment. Who are the Muslims who are going to, first of all, invite these Yahudis? Say, okay, come on. Let's speak this issue in public. Let's talk about it. And let everyone listen. And may he who has the strongest argument, may he win. Why don't we, first of all, we don't find Yahud, the Zionists, coming to Muslims and saying, hey, let's speak about this issue, let's have programs about it on TV, or in other parts of the mainstream media. Okay, we can understand, because al-Haq and al-Adil is not on their side. Can we understand that? But how about us? We don't have al-Haq and al-Adil on our side. If we do, why are we cowards? Why can't we say, come, let us sit down in a forum in which millions of people will listen to both sides of this issue. This issue has been going on for over 60 years, and throughout these 60 years, the public has not been privy to an honest, to goodness, exchange of opinions between those who represent Zionist racism and those who represent universalist Islam. never happened up until now. You tell me why. All of this concentration on buying weapons. Okay, at a certain point, we're going to have to buy weapons. Because these people don't understand the language of give and take. They understand the languages of explosions and bombs. So we know we have to do that at one point. But before that, why can't we have the weapon of truth and confidence on our side? Why do we lack that? Only one answer, one short answer to that. That is because internally we have been occupied. This reminds me, I don't want to go off course here because this can take us into other areas, but it reminds me of the civil rights movement in the United States during the 50s and 60s. Remember, they used to refer to people who are not white. This is part of the racism that makes up this whole structure over the Atlantic, from the Middle East to the United States. They used to refer to those people who are not white and say, colored people. And they had the media on their side and all of this. And then the civil rights movement takes place. And then, because the majority of those in this country who are not white are of African descent, said, we don't want this word. We don't want the word nigger or negro or colored. It's more befitting to be called for what we are. We are African Americans. I don't have any problems with fighting back when they are fighting against us. There's no problem with that. The problem is, why can't we use the same tool that they are using? Okay, you refer to people who are not white as colored, okay? A thinking and a mind that is confident of themselves, okay, you're colorless. If I'm colored, you are colorless. And see where they're going to go with that. They don't have a color. And it's almost true. I mean, you can argue this. They don't have, they commit a crime in cold blood. They're cold about it. They don't turn colors. So they're colored. I mean, however way you want to look at it, that's who they are. But even with this available to us, no one used it. Which goes to tell you, not only are the Muslims under occupation, oppressed people are also under occupation. Their own history doesn't belong to them, and even the language that they use does not belong to them. قَالَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِيُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. نعم. One of the lost chapters of history on us is, where was it? What was Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa before the Isra of the Prophet from Al-Masjid Al-Haram to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa? By the way, Al-Masjid Al-Haram, for your information, was called prior, originally it was called Masjid. The time of Ibrahim and Ismail, it was a Masjid. And its description and definition was accurate. But after the effects of Ibrahim and Ismail wore out, the Arabians who lived around Al-Masjid Al-Haram, they no longer called it Masjid. They called it Al-Bayt Al-Haram. So when the Prophet came, that wasn't referred to as Al-Masjid Al-Haram. It was the Prophet who re-energized its original meanings. It was the Quran who gave it its original description, Al-Masjid Al-Haram, no longer Al-Bayt Al-Haram. المسجد الحرام والمسجد الأقصى. These are two masjids. Do we belong to a masjid or don't we? The place of sujood, isn't this a place that describes the aromatic, the aroma character of a committed Muslim? But what was the Masjid al-Aqsa before that? Before the night of the Isra and the Mi'raj? We said Sulaiman and Dawood alayhim as-salam, they launched and they finished the building of that masjid. It wasn't the temple. Call it in the counter literature, they call it Solomon's Temple. You hear any Muslim repeating this, immediately know that he's under the trance of Yahudi propaganda and Yahudi public relations schemes. So what was it? It went into, after it was built, because of the hard-headed history of Bani Israel, it went into disuse. They were exiled and they were expelled by the Babylonians and by the Byzantines or the Romans from Al-Quds. So no one was there to honor this place. And Yahud, with their tortured history, kept it a place that belongs to people of Scripture in their own way. But when they disobeyed Allah to the extent that they were no longer in control of that, what they call the Temple Mount, they call it that. We still call it the Masjid al-Aqsa. It so happened that in the few hundred years before Al-Isra and the Mi'raj, that area was turned into an area in which, because of the mother of the Roman emperor who made the official religion of the Byzantines Christianity, Constantine. His mother, Helena, if I recall her name correctly, in her animosity and hatred to Yahud, she turned that area into a garbage area. They used to throw the garbage of Al-Quds on that area that is called Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Dumping area. Trash, refuse, garbage was thrown there. When the Prophet of Allah was taken on that night journey, where did he go? He went to a masjid. In today's meaning of the word, you have, look at the elaborate structures that masajid had. It wasn't like that. It was a place that no one would want to go to. It smelled, it stunk. Because of the history, because of those who have stolen its history and those who reacted against themselves in that internal Judea, what is called Judeo-Christian history. So what's a Masjid al-Aqsa? If we're talking about a large heap of trash and garbage on what is called the Temple Mount area. So when was the Masjid al-Aqsa built? Again, as I say, our history suffers from occupation, because you ask yourself, before listening to the coming words of information, you ask yourself, what do I know? How do I not really know what was there, what happened to that area, who was in charge, how they thought about it? Nothing. Blank. And this gap is what invites the trouble that becomes military occupation. The first Muslims, after the Prophet on his night journey, the first Muslims to arrive in Al-Quds was that military force that was headed by the second successor to Allah's Prophet, Umar. When he arrived in Al-Quds, he asked immediately, where is, these were his words, where is, show me the masjid of Dawood and Sulaiman. And he was speaking with the Christian clergy. He wasn't speaking to tyrants and despots. And they took him there to where the area, what is called the area, the Temple Mount area. And he was the first person, even though that place was not in any sense where any Muslim would pray, because of the filth and the pollution that was there. But he was the first, after the Prophet prayed on his night journey at Isra and the Mi'raj there, it was him and the Muslims who were with him who prayed there. The masjid, this physical structure that we call the masjid, nothing was there. The masjid was a place for sujood, a land where he could perform his sajda. And he prayed. He performed his sajda there. So when did we have a masjid al-Aqsa? As we, today we have it as a masjid. It has walls, it has a ceiling, it has carpets, it has everything. Many Muslims confuse the masjid al-Aqsa with Qubbat al-Sakhra. This is another misleading piece of the disinformation propaganda that is out there. Masjid al-Aqsa and Quds, and then they show you the picture of Qubbat al-Sakhra, the golden dome. If many Muslims aren't aware of this, it's not. It is there in what is called the general area of the Masjid al-Aqsa, but it's not the masjid, and that didn't exist. So when did these buildings, when were these walls built? When did this come into existence? It came into existence about 60 to 70 years of the Hijrah. That's when the Muslims decided, we are going to build these masajid into the wall structure, the typical masjid that we have in our mind today. They built Qubbat al-Sakhra, and they built al-Masjid al-Aqsa in this general area. But once again, what do? When our information is lacking? All of this area here, no one wants to take on the Yahudi propaganda, and now you have Jewish Zionists, and you have Christian Zionists. And all of them are loaded with a misreading of history. And we are loaded with ignorance of history. And this is where we are. This is where we are today. Incapable of living up to our responsibilities. And this day of Al-Quds, the last Friday in the month of Ramadan, is a day to mobilize the Muslims from the depth of their minds and the heart and their hearts, so that they will be able to sacrifice the ultimate sacrifice that is required for the liberation of the Holy Land from Zionists and imperialists, from racists and from capitalists, from all the greedy and all the self-centered classes of the world. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ادعوه وأنتم على يقين بالإجابة وتوبوا إلى الله متابا. الحمد لله الذي هدى صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا المصطفى وعلى آله وصحبه أولي النهى والتقى. My dear brothers and sisters who share the responsibilities, the duties, the struggle, and the sacrifices of obedient Muslims. It is true that it is going to take a conclusive military effort to rid us of the Zionist and the U.S. supported and financed and militarized occupation of the Holy Land. That is true. But what is required of us is liberate ourselves first. I want to make at least 2 points here. The first one is the parallel Zionists in Mecca and in Medina. These are agents of the occupiers of Palestine. I have to get this straight. I have to tell you that the Muslims of the past 31 years plus, who have been in a struggle of self-determination, they understand this very well. But it seems like they are not willing to open up an internal sapping of the Muslim potential. What do I mean by this? Let me be more clear with you. Muslims of today, of our time and generation, Muslims are born traditional Muslims. If you're born into a Sunni family, you're a Sunni, just because you're born in that family. If you're born into a Shi'i family, you're a Shi'i because you were born in that family. Sunnis and Shi'is are cultural Muslims more than they are ideological Muslims. And the risk is, if Muslims who belong to a particular cultural background, they pick a fight with other Muslims who belong to another or an opposite cultural background, this will drain the energies and the potentials that the Muslims have. So they take extreme caution that this not happen. But the words here are directed to those who don't fall into this dichotomy. The ideological Muslims, who are Muslims first and Sunni second, Muslims first and Shi'i second. What's wrong with you not identifying the occupiers of Mecca and in Medina? What's wrong? You have all the information to do so in the Quran and in the Sunnah. You Muslims, who consider yourselves Sunnis, if you begin to speak out and expose and take issue with the Saudi occupiers, you don't make room for internal infighting. Because no one's going to say you're a Sufi or you're a Shi'i or you're a minority or you're something else. You are, supposedly, a Sunni Muslim, just like the ones who are occupying Arabia and Hijaz and Masjid al-Aqsa and Masjid al-Nabawi, supposedly Sunni Muslims. Isn't it about time that you, who can save the internal Muslims, civil strife, take issue with that occupying regime in Arabia? That's number one. Number two, there are some people who, because of their hyphenated definition of Islam, they say that the Islamic governance in Iran is a Shi'i one. And they try to gain political and propaganda mileage out of this. we say to them, if that was the case, there would have, instead of Yawm al-Quds, this Friday in Ramadan, that government there, if it was Shi'i first and Islam second, it would have had a day, this day or another day, designated for the liberation of Karbala. No such thing exists. All of their energies, all of their potentials is concentrated on the liberation of Al-Quds, an area in which there are no quote-unquote Shi'is to speak about. Anyone heard of a Palestinian Shi'i? Has anyone heard of a Shi'i from Al-Quds, Jerusalem? This is enough. If we just think, our problem is we are conditioned by the occupiers of Arabia not to think about the liberation of Al-Ard Al-Muqaddasa, of Jerusalem Al-Quds. Brothers and sisters, all that is required for you is to think something that people who have money and people who have power don't want you to do.